It's a night of magic and mystery as Matt Lavoir pays a return visit to the Strand Theater in Shelbyville coming up this Saturday night, and it returns to our studio now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Going very well. Thank you for coming in today.
Absolutely.
All right, magic and mystery. I saw your show when you were here the first time. We had a chance to visit, as we're going to do right now. But with all that being said, with all that you've learned as you've perfected your craft, you got this whole mystery of being married thing figured out. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. We got married at the end of March, and yeah, it was awesome. We had lots of people telling us it was our favorite wedding they've ever been to. So we had a really fun time. We made it really fun. We had a friend of mine came out and performed. He does he's a pogo stick comedian stunt artist, I guess you could say. And
he's a what?
Pogo stick comedian stunt artist. His name's Wacky Chad, if anybody wants to look him up. But he's a friend, and he did a show, and we had an ice cream truck at the wedding. And
nice.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We did a lightsaber fight.
Now, how do you decide the winner of a lightsaber fight? Is it like paintballing where you get hit? Does a message light up on your body telling you you're out?
No. So what we did was it was a choreographed thing. When my wife and I went out for our first dance, all of a sudden, like, the lights went out, and we had lightsabers, and a friend gave them to us, and they turned on, and the Star Wars music hit, and then we got into a lightsaber fight, and it was all well choreographed and everything, but there was no winner. Basically, I decided to put my lightsaber down and open my arms, and my wife ran up and jumped in my arms.
Look at you. You got an awe out of me, and that doesn't happen ever on this show. Matt Lavoir here. He's at the Strand Saturday night. And before we get into a little magic and mystery right here that will leave me feeling like I'm stupid before the segment is over, somebody hasn't seen your show, give me in words the best description you can of what they can witness if they come Saturday night.
So it's not, I know when a lot of people think of magicians, they think of different things. Sometimes people think of, you know, some guy twisting balloons or doing tricks with funny boxes or wiggling their fingers and stuff like that. So it's kind of the antithesis of that. It's the opposite of all of that. There's no big props on stage. My props are, well, there are, they're people. I have 5 to 6 feet tall props all over the stage. But it's much more cerebral. It's much more magic of the mind. Half the show is hypnosis, so we do a lot of stuff with hypnosis, a lot of mind reading, stuff like that. So I try and strip it down. My goal is to strip down the show and make magic, present magic in the most real way possible for people, so that it I'm more interested in, like, the emotional resonance of magic rather than the all flash and no substance type of thing. I'm all about the substance. That's where I like to put the focus.
We were talking related to some other things about how the internet and social media has impacted the world. And in a way, for that particular conversation, it was kind of down on what those things can do. But with that being said, I've also spoken with, say, recently car dealers in town, how the internet has impacted people's decisions and efforts to buy a car, and how knowledgeable they may be now walking into the dealership, you know, than they would have been 20 years ago. So with those two frameworks in mind, has the audience changed in the industry so much that magicians have looked to become more, I don't know, sophisticated, not as carnival act, I guess, maybe is the best way I can think to describe it, than maybe they were 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Yeah, so I think that that's a really good question, first of all. But yeah, I think that that's definitely impacted things. For one, I hear all the time, you know, if I perform something for somebody goes, "Oh man, I'm going to look that up on YouTube," or "How'd you learn that? Did you learn on the internet?" So, which is fine. It doesn't bother me, because all you have to do is be one ahead, right? So be more clever than the standard things that are out there. So I think it's been good in the sense that it's pushed the art form further. You know, you can't just, everybody can't be running around doing the same thing, because, you know, everybody's seen America's Got Talent. Everybody can look stuff up on YouTube and everything. So I think it's forced people, if you want to be good, to really work on the craft and present something where For one, it's not something you can just look up. But for two, making sure you're showing people something that you feel they've never seen before, you know? Because the only way to see magic, you know, like you said, 30 or 40 years ago was to go to a show or just happen to be sitting in front of your TV. Mm-hmm. There was no TiVo 40 years ago,
no.
You know? So that was it. It was either, you know, you stayed up late and watched the David Copperfield special or you went to the show. And I think it's made magic better. I think magic today is better than it's ever been because it's forced people, you know, creators and performers and stuff to approach the art form a little smarter.
Now you, as you mentioned, deal directly with people in your show.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, you've already gotten one awe out of me, but that was for your wedding, not for the magic, and we'll talk about that in a second. As most people probably react with amazement and enjoyment, have you ever had to deal with somebody who maybe was angered or just didn't like how they felt because they felt, I don't know, fooled, bamboozled up on stage?
I'd say, well, my approach to it is I never, like, I know some magicians out there kind of use audience members and make fun of them and stuff like that, which I do the opposite of that. I always want people to feel comfortable in my show, feel comfortable on stage. I don't make fun of anybody or anything like that. But the thing that I find that is, no matter what type of performer you are, is that some people are scared of magic. And I have had people, I remember when I was in college, I went to like a friend's house party or something like that, and this guy had just gotten there and we were all friends with him, and he walked over and I did a piece of magic for him, and he just said and he walked out the door. He had just gotten there like 20 minutes earlier, and he was planning on staying there all night, and he just said and he walked out. I do college shows, and I was doing something, some people were eating, and this guy just sat down with his food, and I did something for him, and he looked at me and he grabbed his tray of freshly made food that he just paid for, and he threw it in the garbage can and walked out. Didn't say a word. I think it just scares some people. On some level, I think that that's good. I think that I think magic should make people feel a little bit uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but I never want it to be in a negative way, right? Like, I want people, I mean, like jumping out of an airplane should make you feel a little uncomfortable, yeah, right? It should tap into that, that part of you that's making you do it in the first place. And I think that's kind of what good magic does is, you know, you want to experience something amazing, but at the same time, it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but you enjoy it because it's blowing your mind, you know?
Matt Lavore is with us. He's at the Strand Theater coming up on Saturday night. And when I saw your show, what month was that now? I've all of a sudden lost
last year
track.
Was August.
Last year in yeah. August. I sit behind a microphone, so it's not like I'm out in front of a camera or something like that very often, if at all. But I enjoy watching the performance side as much as I enjoy watching the magic side. And I enjoyed the way you handled the stage and handled people. And I wondered, are the two, doing the magic and addressing the people, are those one thing now for you? Or did you have to perfect one and then the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's definitely two different art forms, I think, going on. Because on one hand, I'm a presenter. You know, I'm just a speaker. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm presenting the art of magic. So they're kind of two art forms combined at the same time. I think the idea is to make that as seamless as possible, so that it, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm going to talk and now I'm going to do magic and now I'm going to talk. You know, you want it to be seamless in a show, kind of like, you know, if you watch a good movie, you want the music and the actors' voices and everything to kind of come seamlessly. So I think it's similar in that sense. And what's interesting is because I do a lot of hypnosis and mentalism and stuff like that, sometimes the presentation is the method, right? So yes. Sometimes it is the same thing there.
See, I'm a little bit worried that I enjoyed the show because you told me to at some point. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, I just hypnotized the whole audience to just tell them, like, this is going to be the best show ever.
I don't trust him any further than I could throw him. And with that being said, can you give us a little bit of a flavor for the show here in the studio right now?
Yeah. So let's do this. I have a deck of cards. So I'm going to grab it.
Okay.
All right. So... here's a deck of cards. You can see they're all different and everything. So I'm going to put the deck right here. Let me move my mic here.
Okay.
And if you will, just cut the deck.
All right.
Okay. So we'll just mark where you cut here. So before the show, I took a picture outside the studio. Do you have Instagram by chance?
No.
You don't?
Not on my phone, no.
So on my phone.
I'm old, Matt. I'm kind of old.
I went on Instagram and I posted a picture. I'm not going to show it to you all yet, but that's the picture. Okay. So let's see what card you cut to. So just go ahead and see what your card is there.
Okay. Pulling my card up.
Turn it over.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah. All right. So the Two of Hearts, that's the card you cut to. And you could have cut to any of these cards.
Yes.
Yeah. You can throw it back. Okay. So go ahead and look on Instagram. I posted this before we came outside there. And just read what it says there on the post.
On Giant FM's morning show today, even though he will have a free choice, I think Johnny McCrory will choose the Two of Hearts.
And
as Matt is standing holding the Two of Hearts outside the mobile studio, and he was standing there taking that picture as I drove onto the property after running a quick errand. I wasn't even here.
And you could see, I mean, you had a free,
it's 52 you could
cut that
cards
deck wherever you wanted.
Yeah. I'll offer the applause. I admit, I wish I knew. And how often do you get asked, how'd you do it?
All the time. So real quick, if anybody wants to see that picture, if you go on my Instagram, just so you have evidence, it's Matt Lavore on Instagram, M-A-T. That's Matt with one T, M-A-T-L-A-V-O-R-E. Anyone wants to check it out. People ask that question all the time, you know, how did you do that? But then what's funny is immediately they usually say, no, don't tell me. Right,
because that would be me.
Yeah,
I don't want to know. I do, but I don't.
Right, and that's the mystery there. Because I think it's a natural tendency to want to know what the mystery is, but then all of a sudden you realize the mystery is what's giving you that sense of enjoyment.
I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, exactly. It creates a feeling, and what's cool about magic is it's the only art form that offers that feeling. There's no other art form that offers astonishment as the emotional response, I guess you could say, to what the art form is trying to push. So, you know, you can go to a movie, you can have your mind blown with special effects, you can cry, you can cheer, but you're never going to leave with a sense of true mystery of like, but how? You know, that thing that pushes science forward to make scientists say, you know, what's out there? You know, what's at the bottom of our ocean? What's at the furthest reaches of space? That's all mystery that's pushing that. And people want to know, but the feeling that magic creates is that feeling of touching something impossible. But if you were able to kind of put it together in your head, you'd lose that feeling of being able to touch something impossible, you know?
There's so much of it we've lost. And the first thing that I think of for me is horror films. I was a kid who watched the old Draculas, the black and whites with Boris Karloff, the Frankensteins, the Wolfmans. I loved those movies as a kid. And even as a little kid, late at night, my bedroom, 10:30 at night, I didn't have a social life, besides I didn't have a car then. They scared me a little, enough that you kind of felt uneasy at the very least. And now I find it hard to watch any version of a horror movie and get that same feel. And I kind of regret that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up horror films. Stephen King wrote a book on writing horror. His name escapes me now. I think it might come to me. I'll try and look it up later. But in that, he talks about the value of horror films and why people enjoy horror films or horror books or horror literature. Mm-hmm. And it's that feeling of being able to reach out and experience something that kind of scares you, but know that on the other end, you're going to come out okay. You know, at the end of the book, you put the book down and you move on with your life, or, you know, the credits are going to roll in the movie and things like that. But it gives people a way to experience something that is a part of life, which is death, but do so in a safe way. Touch that thing that scares you. Go in the dark cave, swim to the bottom of the scary ocean, or, you know, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, know you're okay. And I think magic is similar in that way, in that it allows people to explore something that's mysterious, that maybe is a little scary, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, if somebody, you know, has a thought in their mind or whatever, the idea of having the feeling of when somebody reads your mind it has this esoteric strangeness to it, you know, and you can reach out and be a part of that strangeness for a moment But you know, at the end of the day, you know, everything's fine.
Matt LaVore is with us. He's at the Strand Saturday night. A little more strangeness and magic and mystery with Matt coming up on the morning show, Giant FM.
Sandman Brothers in downtown Shelbyville has the deal for you this month. How about the all-new Dodge Ram 1500 Bighorn 4-wheel drive for only $249 per month? Or the classic Ram Bighorn. Save up to $14,025 in total value savings. Or lease the all-new Pacifica. Limited model, now only $373 a month. Salmon Brothers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in downtown Shelbyville. Why go anywhere else?
Experience a miraculous world of magic, mind reading, and hypnosis from world-class astonishment artist Matt LaVore. Witness LaVore hypnotize people to forget their own names, recreate one of Houdini's famous stunts, predict the future in magic and mystery. A 90-minute showcase of mystery arts guaranteed to leave you astonished. Coming to the Strand Theater Saturday, July 27th in downtown Shelbyville. Tickets available online at realastonishment.com, brownpapertickets.com, or locally at Mickey's T-Mart.
Covering Shelby County is our business. Read all about it at ShelbyCountyPost.com.
When your hard water needs to be softened or your drinking water needs to be pure, trust someone that's been around for years. Someone local you can trust. Give Culligan Water Conditioning a call.
Hey, Culligan man!
In Shelby County, call 317-392-2641.
Got business cards? Office Hub downtown Shelbyville can make you business cards. And better business cards than you can get on the internet. For business cards, Office Hub, downtown Shelbyville, or online at iwantmysupplies.com.
Has your old vehicle been telling you it's time to shop Acra Automotive during their huge summer sales drive? Well, now's the time for you to find that new ride, and Acra Automotive has a great selection. If you've been looking for a quality, pre-owned, certified vehicle, now's the time to visit Acra's summer sales drive. Come in and see why your family, friends, and neighbors continue to shop Acra Automotive, State Road 44, Shelbyville.
Only the best will do. Only the best for you. Acra Automotive Group.
Giant FM weather calling for sunshine today with a high of 82. Wednesday, sunny and 84. Thursday, sunshine again with a high of 86.
I'm Charity Moore, a loan officer with First Bank Shelbyville. When you choose First Bank, you don't just get a lender, you get a partner. With a love for camping and the outdoors, I can lead you through the mortgage loan process without getting lost in the woods. My job is to bring you to your new home safe and sound. Local decisions and worry-free lending. I'll be your guide. I'm Charity Moore, a loan officer with First Bank Shelbyville.
First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Matt LaVore is in studio here on Giant FM as we look ahead to his performance at the Strand Theater. It's a 7:30 show this Saturday night. Get your tickets at Mickey's T-Mart or via brownpapertickets.com. And make sure you're listening tomorrow on the morning show, because we're going to give you a chance to win a pair to Saturday night's show. Tell me about, before we kind of venture into a little more mystery here in the studio, but performing at the Strand, now that you've actually got one in the books, what do you recall from that show that night and just that theater? How does it compare to, say, a lot of the other venues that you visit? And I know you see from big to intimate, all sorts of things.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of shows over the course of years, so I see a lot of theaters. But the Strand definitely has its own personality to it, which I think it's a super cool theater. It's been around for over 100 years, and I can imagine vaudeville performers there, you know, which they were, and you can still feel that in the theater. Like, the theater has a very nostalgic type of feel to it, and I think it's like so good for a show like mine, like a magic show where people are coming and you're seeing something that isn't like a super, like, you know, it's not some super modern, like, I don't know what it was, some super modern show would be, because I don't go to them. But it has a sense of, just has a sense of nostalgia, a sense of history and things like that. And I just think it's a really good venue for the style of show I do, especially, you know, I think that theater is kind of built for shows like that. It's kind of built for vaudeville type stuff. And when you go into the theater and you watch a magic show there, it really feels a little bit like you're stepping back into a different time, you know, and I like that a lot.
How patient do you have to be for a show like yours? And I'll give you an example. For the show at the Strand that I witnessed, you had at one point a half a dozen people, maybe more, maybe up to eight, on stage at one time when you were working in the area of hypnosis.
Yeah.
And I'm going to generalize this. But for some, you might walk and tap them on the shoulder or on the forehead and they would go into a sleep.
Yeah.
Others, it might take another tap or another reference, whatever it is you feel you need to do to get them there. How patient do you have to be sometimes to work with an audience?
Yeah, so there, there's two. I'm performing for two audiences in some way, right? Mm-hmm. I'm performing for the people on stage to make sure that you know I'm working with them. I'm talking to them. I'm you know, when I'm inducing them in hypnosis, I'm working directly with them. But then I also have to be aware that there's an audience watching and to make sure that it's entertaining for them. So it's definitely a balance when it comes to hypnosis. It's this weird space of our, all of our brains kind of work differently. So if I, for instance, tell somebody, you know, you're going to be stuck to the floor, I don't know what makes sense in their mind of why they might be stuck to a floor, whether it's a sticky feeling or a heaviness or not being able to move their legs or whatever. So sometimes it takes a moment to figure out in their mind what's going to click for them to give the suggestion proper. So I might throw out a couple things and then, you know, and then they're stuck, but I can tell that they look a little confused and then I throw out something else and then that's the thing that makes sense to them. You know, so it's a matter of working with that person and doing hypnosis with whoever I'm working with, but at the same time making all of those moments entertaining for the audience that's watching.
There's a comedian who references his dad, who was an alcoholic, and he tells a story about his dad was having a surgery and they would put the needle in the arm until you start counting backwards from 100. And he goes, his dad, who again drank very heavily, would go, 3, 2, 1. Now what else do you want me to do after he counted all the way from 100?
That's funny.
Do you ever come across somebody who doesn't take the suggestion for whatever reason?
Usually it's just a matter of reframing.
Okay.
So kind of like what I mentioned before. So I might say something and I don't get the result I want. But I'll reframe it. I can recreate the moment for them.
Okay.
And then that usually goes fine. I also, like, I with hypnosis, it's a part of it is building the experience. So I start small and then I build a little bigger and build a little bit bigger. So it's a little bit of moving people through the experience. So when I get to the, you know, to, I guess you could call it crazier stuff, that person has already had experiences and I'm kind of walking them there, you know, so the experiences keep getting bigger, but it's not jarring to them.
I'll use one more question involving the onstage work. A lot of times, especially though with comedians, I'll ask them, is your act ever framed by geography? You know, a joke will play okay in the Midwest, but you wouldn't bother to use it if you went out to a club in LA. Is your act at all framed by geography or the environment you're in?
Not so much. I have a routine I do that I don't do in some places. And I have an alternate version that I'll do in other places. But aside from that, I tend to stay away from things that I feel might create less rapport with my audience. So, you know, politics or religion or anything like that. I try and stay away from all that because I want whoever's sitting in the chairs in the audience, even if they're in the minority of wherever I am, because I do shows all over the country, I want everybody to always feel comfortable and never feel like I've insulted them or anything like that. I think comedians can get away with it a little bit more because at the end of the day, people go, you know, oh, it's, you know, I just got to have a good sense of humor and just, you know, everything is able to be joked about. But for a magic or hypnosis show, I think it's a little bit of an uphill battle in the sense that almost all hypnosis shows and a lot of magic shows are about are about comedy, and a lot of times comedy at the audience's expense, and that's the opposite of what I wanted to do. You know, there's humor in my show. There's humor all throughout my show, but it's never, and it's never coming at the expense of the audience. Yeah. And so, I really try and stay away from as much of that type of humor as possible, just for me. I mean, I can enjoy watching that type of stuff, but for me, I try and stay away from it just because I don't want to fall into the trap of being like everybody else, for one, and second, when people come to the show, like when people come to a magic or hypnosis show, I think what they really want is they really want to experience astonishment and mystery, you know, like, in other words, if somebody gets up there and they just do like an all slapstick comedy magic act, it's fine. I just think, and this is just me personally, I think kind of if you're that interested in comedy, why not just be a comedian?
Good point.
Like a magician's job is to create wonder and mystery and astonishment for people. And I think a lot of performers might lose sight of that. And so I try and sharpen that edge a little bit more for people.
Well, that's why I like what you did the last time I got to watch you perform, because there is enough brevity to interact with the crowd, but I don't want to lose the intensity of kind of what you're building on the stage too. And I think there is an intensity to the show, and I like that. I like feeling a little bit of tension when I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That's very intentional. Cause my favorite types of movies and stuff are things like, you know, Inception. That's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, terrific movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific.
It's real cerebral, but it keeps you on the edge of your seat the whole movie, you know? And, you know, every now and then you have to give the audience a sense to release that tension. Cause if not, they'll find their own moments to release that tension, which may not be what you want, right? Like as a performer, you kind of want to, it's your job to take them on that ride.
Sure.
You know, so you want to give them moments to release that tension, but I think honing that tension and keeping it focused and everything always provides for a better payoff for the audience.
Now, I get lucky in the fact that we have Matt visit us before he performs at the Strand, so it's like a personal sampling of things I get here in the studio. Can you give me one more before we let you go today?
Yeah. So as somebody who does interviews, I thought I would see if I could figure out who might be the person you would want to interview the most, living or dead. Okay. And you have this person in mind.
I do.
Okay. So I'm going to see if I can figure this out. And if not, we'll try something different, but I want to see if I can work this out. So let's start off with, just think whether the person's living or dead, but don't say it or anything, but just think of it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
All right. So this person's still alive.
Yes.
Okay. This person's still alive. Can you picture this person maybe doing what they're doing? I'm not sure what this person does, but maybe just picture them where they might be. Or
yes.
All right. So this is somebody who's active. It's not somebody who sits at a desk or anything.
Not in the role I envision him.
Okay. Is this sports related?
It is.
It's sports related. Okay, but it's not. It's not going to be football. It's going to be, this person's retired.
Yes.
But they're still alive.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Yeah, I'm just going to go for it. Are you thinking of Larry Bird?
Yes, I am.
Larry Bird, the basketball player?
Yes.
Cool.
That's why when you asked me about the desk, he has had a desk role. Yeah, but yeah. Obviously, I think of him
as the basketball player.
I'm going to ask, and obviously you'll answer it as you can, but how did we go from retired to you being ready to guess? I was ready for you to maybe say, okay, it's basketball, or some, at least one more step. You went to right to it.
Yeah. So this is going to sound, it's going to kind of sound esoteric, and I don't mean it that way. But I mean it more scientifically. Like, we all have an intuition, right? Everybody has that. Human beings are a little bit more detached from it because we have logic. We're the only animal that operates primarily on logic. But an animal like a dog or something, it just operates off intuition. So people have that. I just don't think that you know, we don't spend a lot of time in that area. It's not something that we spend a lot of time accessing and things like that. And again, I don't mean this in some type of like psychic way or necessarily or anything like that. It's just something that people don't spend a lot of time practicing that skill, practicing listening to that, you know, subconscious voice in the back of your head saying, hey, maybe, you know. So that's definitely that's definitely a large part of mentalism and things like that is learning how to kind of trust your gut at times.
The weirder thing for me, and again, as Matt came in before we even turned on the microphones today, just to clarify what he was going to do later, he had me write, I wrote Larry Bird on a sheet of paper that's been in my pocket since we started.
And you have the evidence
segment.
Of it? You have it here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's take it out. Let me see.
Yeah.
So you brought it here? Cool, yeah. So there's the evidence right there. So you went with Larry Bird.
I'll go you one step further, sure. Though. Last night, I met a buddy of mine lives up around Marion, and mm-hmm. a lot of times we'll meet halfway and have dinner. We went to a place that we'd never been to before. We always try to hit something new. On the way out, because when you asked me the question, who would I want to interview, it was influenced by something that had just happened. I mean, if there'd have been a Bill Clinton sighting, I might have thought of Bill Clinton, honestly, at one point. But as we walked out of this restaurant, Larry Bird's Indiana State jersey was hanging by the door as we exited. And it made me start thinking of sometimes I have been like on press row and had a microphone to Bird, but I've never had a one-on-one with him. So this was influenced from last night when I saw that jersey. And then to have you get that today, there's an extra layer of eeriness to that for me.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes back to what we were talking about where, you know, I feel like good magic or mentalism should feel a little bit disturbing. It should ask bigger questions that lead to more questions, that lead to more questions, you know. And that's, you know, that's the same way like, you know, science has grown, you know, like what's on the other side of this ocean? Well, what's on the other side of that ocean? You know, what's in space? You know, it kind of just keeps pushing and pushing that uncomfortable mystery of, you know, where does that ocean go? You know, it's scary, but it's also fascinating.
Well, you'll take a dip in the ocean and more with Matt LaVore if you come out to the Strand Theater Saturday night and get your tickets. You can do it online, brownpapertickets.com. You can find them locally at Mickey's T-Mart as well. Safe travels as you go on from here, but looking forward to Saturday night.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it too. And thanks for the interview. And I'm looking forward to the show. It's going to be a great time. It's magic, mind reading, hypnosis. It's a crazy show, different than anything I think people have seen before. So hope people come out.
Good stuff. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, John.
Matt LaVore with us.